My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Welcome to our study of what are the differences. Maybe somebody's asked you before, what's the difference between the Church of Christ and other religious groups? What makes the church unique? Why would I want to become a part of the Church of Christ? As we think today in our lesson about on our soul-saving series, a person needs to understand that Jesus only built one church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is but one body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the body is the church. And of course, Jesus said, "I'll build my church," not churches. Jesus never intended for the multitude of religious groups that exist today to be His church. His church is singular. His church is unique. But someone asks, what is it that makes the church stand out from other religious groups? There are four things we're going to mention in this lesson today that help us to understand why the Church of Christ is different or unique. First of all, our structure of authority is different. By structure, we mean the way authority flows down to those in the church today. For example, in some religious groups, you have a hierarchy. For example, in Catholicism, you have the Pope, you have archbishops, you have a local diocese, you have an area-wide diocese, and it comes down some chain of men. Is that God's structure of authority today? Absolutely not. The Scripture says, "Call no man father." Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9. Well, how is the New Testament structure of authority different than what we see in religious groups? First of all, there are no earthly headquarters on this earth today, in the United States or anywhere else, for the Lord's church. Some people say Rome's the headquarters. Others say Salt Lake City or Jerusalem. In the church you read about in the New Testament, the headquarters is in heaven. Hebrews 1 verse 4, Jesus is reigning at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the head of the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and Jesus clearly said in Matthew 16, verse 19, whatever you bind on earth will already be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will already be loosed in heaven. And so we don't have some earthly headquarters where people go to and say, is this the head of this religious group? No, our headquarters are in heaven. The office, the headquarter of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, emanating from the throne of God where all decisions have already been made. I want you to notice the words of Psalm 119, verse 89. We don't look to a head today or some synod. Notice what the Scripture says. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven." On religious matters, heaven has already decided. Heaven is the headquarters because that's where God Himself is at, and He's already decided on all religious matters. It's already settled. We don't need to vote. We don't need to get a group of clerics or whatever you want to call them together and say, now what are we going to believe about this? God's already decided. He's given it to us in His Word, and we can know what God wants us to know. Isn't it great to know that this book has everything we need, and we can get all the teaching of God to get to heaven out of this? 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and by virtue. And so heaven's the headquarters. Matters have already been decided, and thus there's no need for a convention. There's no need to vote on beliefs or policies. In the Lord's church today, we're not going to say, here's the convention, and at this convention, we're going to vote on homosexuality, or we're going to vote on whether women should preach. No, no need for that. God's already decided in His Word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right here in the Scripture is where we get doctrine. Right here is where we get instruction in righteousness, and thus we don't need to vote or have some synod. Hebrews 6 verse 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 4 verse 12, the Word of God is still living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So if it's been settled, if heaven's our headquarters, then friends, we need to go to the Bible as our sole source and structure of authority and let God decide. Now, in the Lord's church, each congregation is autonomous and self-governed. That is, they each have elders who are the spiritual leaders. Christ is the head of the church. In matters of doctrine, He and God have already decided, but in matters of putting those things into practice, making sure people follow the Word and spreading the gospel, each congregation is autonomous. Acts chapter 14, verse 23, they appointed elders in every city. Acts chapter 20, every congregation. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul spoke to the elders at the congregation in Ephesus, and he told them, you need to take heed, you need to teach, you need to lead, you need to be shepherds of the flock of God, which He has made you overseers of. And so their responsibility as a plurality of elders in every congregation was to be leaders, was to be the overseers, is to watch out for people's souls. There's no pope. There's not going to be one man leading the congregation. That tried to happen one time in the Bible. In 3 John 9, Diotrephes tried to be the pope. And you know what John said? He's trying to have the preeminence, and that only belongs to Christ. And thus, elders in every congregation govern and help people put the principles of Christ into their life. But most importantly, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is still the head of the church today. Jesus said, I'll build my church. It belongs to Jesus, and He's the builder. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 says, no other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid. He's the foundation. Ephesians 2 verse 20, it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself. And so He's the builder. He's the foundation. It belongs to Him. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus purchased the church with His own precious blood. He died for the church. He paid the price. Ephesians 5, verse 25. He is the head of the body. Colossians 1, 18. He's the head of the body that in all things Jesus may have the preeminence. And so as head of the church, He tells us what to do, and we follow His lead. He has all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. There are no men today who have authority to establish doctrine, who have the right to name a church after themselves. They haven't died for it. They're not the head of it. They're not the founder. Jesus is. And thus, our structure of authority is different. We look to God reigning from heaven in His Word, which is already settled, and we follow the principles of Jesus, the head of the church. But not only is the structure of authority different, the source of authority in the Lord's church is different. For example, in the Church of Christ, there are no creed books or manuals that are going to state what the church is to believe or practice. There's not going to be a book of discipline. There's not going to be a catechism. There's not going to be a creed book that says if you're a member of the Church of Christ, this is what you're supposed to believe. The Bible is what we follow. 1 John 5, verse 16, we're taught that to do such, to put the teachings of God into human books, that's not right. For 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 says, if we err in that, we transgress God's will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, we're to speak as the oracles of God. What God has said in His Word, that's what we say. Psalm 119, 160, the Scripture says, the entirety of God's Word is truth. And so we don't have a creed book that we're going to open up and say, now faith, let's turn to page 323 and see what we're to believe. No, we say, What do the Scriptures teach? What does God want us to believe in His Word? The church looks to the Bible, God's Word, for its beliefs and all its practices. There are two great questions that I want you to remember. Jeremiah 37, verse 17, an evil king asked a wonderful question. Is there any word from the Lord? In the Lord's church, that's what we ask today. We don't ask, what did religious leaders 500 years ago teach? We don't ask, what did church fathers teach? We don't ask, what did so-and-so who's got a doctorate teach? We ask, is there any word from the Lord? The second question, Romans chapter 4, verse 3. What does the Scripture say? Not the creed book, not the pastor, which is not a biblical term to begin with. What, not a biblical term for a preacher. What does the Scripture say? Matthew 7:21, Jesus taught us, it's not just everybody who says, Lord, Lord, that's going to heaven, but he who does what? The will of the Father. That's the person who's going to heaven. And here's what's interesting. You cannot know and do the will of God without the Bible. Did you know that? You cannot know what God's will is, and you can't do it without following the teaching of the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 11 tells us that we know God's will. How can a young man keep himself clean? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. God's word must be hidden in our heart that we might not sin against him. I can know the Bible is my source. John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And oh, how I love the words of Mary in John chapter 2, verse 5. What great advice she gave to the servants then and to us today. The context is this. Jesus is about to perform his first miracle. The pots have run out of grape juice, of wine, the text says. And Mary requests of Jesus that he refill those. Of course, at first he's hesitant, but he agrees to do that. And in John 2, verse 5, Mary turns to the servants and says this. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Can you find any greater advice concerning the source of our authority than that? Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. You see, we strive to only do that which God authorizes. Notice the words of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. What do we mean by saying that the Bible is our only source of authority? Notice Colossians 3:17. The Scripture says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The sole source of authority for what we say, what we do, must be the Word of God.